This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt!
Don't make me take off my belt!
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
The most popular man in Dallas. Brian Schottenheimer.
We're getting there. We're getting there with Brian Schottenheimer anyway.
You know, I heard someone bring up a counterpoint to all that I thought was interesting.
What's that?
And I think it was Norm on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Is it always great to be loved by the players and have these relationships? And I was like, okay, while we're all busy, I like balanced thinking. And while we're all busy throwing a culture parade, no one has brought that up. Jason Garrett vacationing or going to Duke games with the select few and getting too tight with your players. Or do you consider Brian Schottenheimer not doing that with what we've been discussing? I just thought it was an interesting counterpoint.
No, I think it's good to bring up. I think
you don't want to get too close.
Yeah, I think
y'all talked about Bill Parcells and all the nightmare stories and Larry Allen. Well, guess what? If in your prime Bill Parcells was available, I would want in your prime Bill Parcells coaching my football team.
Yeah, there's a lot of that was a lot of people tell you that's what kind of did Dan Quinn in at the end in Atlanta. Was like it's you're the father figure, everybody like loves you, you're the player's coach, but like when are you cracking down when you need to? I think that's 100% a question of like are you the parent that I'm your friend, or are you going to be the parent ever? I think Schottenheimer is going to be that, but he's got to show it. He's got to show that he can enforce it. I think he will.
So I'll spill the beans. We won't get into all of it. We'll do sprinkles. Last week, we sat down with Brian Schottenheimer for about 90 minutes. Bobby and Tad set it up. Props to both of them. And we were like, yo, before we start this weekly show, we should have some FaceTime. It's going to help the interview. We should have done it with Jerry 15 years ago. We should have done it with Jason Garrett. We should have done it with McCarthy. It never happened under the old PR. Tad made it happen with Schottenheimer. So we went to his office for 90 minutes, and we'll sprinkle in those stories throughout that we feel comfortable sharing. But the toughest question I asked Schottenheimer, I said, can you, because you're so cool, we're loving you, we're BSing, we're having a great time. And finally I asked him, can you be mean? Can you crack down?
I thought he was going to bop you on the head.
Go ahead, explain his reaction. He looked offended.
He said, can I?
Yeah. Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
you worry about
it. He was like, ask my players. Because I want to know that you can crack down. I feel like there hasn't been enough of that around here. That's why I wanted a Mike Vrabel. I wanted a Belichick in the offseason. So I asked Schottenheimer that. Do you agree with the way he reacted with what RJ described?
No, it was... Go get your testimony out there, which we got from Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin talked about when he had done his podcast, he said that he went out there to practice, and after they've been given a break, Shotty came back out there and just ripped them a new one for like, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to give y'all a break. I was trying to give y'all credit. And now I see people out here loafing.
Like, now, okay. And the way Mike portrayed it, and Mike loved this aspect of teamwork and buying in, he said everyone was looking around like, who let us down? Which one of y'all let us down to where we're getting yelled at by Schottenheimer? But yeah, Brian's response and look was, that was a borderline stupid question.
Well, and over at The Athletic.
But it was a brilliant question.
No, it was a great question. I think it's a fair question. We're doing Below the Belt here, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. The Athletic had a write-up for...
That's where I got mad at Bobby last week, because Choppy's big question was asking Schottenheimer about his visor. And then when I heard Schottenheimer talk about it to the rest of the media, I cursed Bobby and I said, you gave one of our golden nugget stories away to Todd Archer. I know you gossiping with Archer all the time. And no, it turned out not to be the case. But I thought,
or so he says,
the day after Archer got the visor, I'm like, we should have dropped that on the radio and gotten the credit instead of Todd.
No. It was not me. I kept my lips sealed. I zipped my lips.
You didn't tell anyone we met with Brian Schottenheimer?
No, people saw us walking in there.
Because Zach told me good luck on the way in.
People knew we were meeting. Like, I mean, that's the thing. But no, that's the, because the rest of the media meets with him.
Never would have gotten Bin Laden if you were on that staff.
I mean, you wouldn't even know where Bin Laden was if I wasn't on the staff, though, because that's what I do. I coordinated all that. You remember that, Choppy?
He would have found him and then told everybody he found him.
Yeah. All right, over at The Athletic, they're doing the pressing question for every new play caller in the NFL. So Mike Jones wrote this over at The Athletic, the one pressing question for each play caller. And I thought, I'm media watchdogging a little bit. We did it earlier with Cody Benjamin, telling him why he was dumb.
How does he do the pee-wee laugh?
You've got the question for Schottenheimer, I feel like is kind of generic. He said, can this rookie head coach really supercharge an offense that often looked disjointed, anemic, and ineffective when he was Mike McCarthy's offensive coordinator? Can he really be better? Feels just too generalized for the specifics of what we're really asking about Brian Schottenheimer. So I've got three things that I think are significantly more critical for Shoddy to answer, and stuff that doesn't mean he can't reach this or anything. It's just, we don't know yet. So I want to kick these around a little bit. Number one is exactly what you were just talking about from Norm. Did the players want you because you make them better or because you're their buddy? To me, I think that's something that we'll have to find out really quickly. The players going to bat for Schottenheimer, was that a testimony to the front office as this guy made us better? When he had a bigger hand in the offense, we were better. He pushes us. He makes us better. Or is it, I like him. I like him. I want him to be here. Because those are two very different reasons for going to bat for him.
I felt like my theory, I don't know this, I felt like they advocated for Mike at the end because they liked the setup and the environment. That's my theory, and that's the wrong reason to want Mike to stay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Chop, you have any concern about the... Because I think you were wondering, can you go from being in it with to being your boss?
That's one of the... That's a problem. It's not just in sports. I mean, it happens in life, too, with your regular job, when you're contemporary or you're just your immediate supervisor gets promoted, you know what I mean? And it's just like...
It happened in this building. Gavin Spittle worked here. And then he came back from Houston with some people. Reetma's like staring at me through the glass for some reason. Jake said, is this going to affect me? Can I get more airtime from this story? And then he came back with some people who maybe he was wondering, are they going to remember old Gavin
or new Gavin?
Or new Gavin.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Look, it's a problem that manager is going to have to deal with, right?
I say that only half of the team, it's a worry for half the team since he spent the time with the offense? Or will the defense also look at him like, yo, man, you were just an assistant the past couple of years? Because the defense theoretically should not know him that well at all.
Yeah, because also, like, you see guys get promoted as coach in waiting, right? Like Gerard Mayo with the Patriots, he was coach in waiting.
Yeah.
Now, that didn't work. Now, he didn't have a good team either, but it didn't work. Even though, when I think you're announced as coach in waiting, that automatically gives you a little bit more authority.
Yeah.
And you could start to exercise some of that. But, you know, Shoddy was just, I mean, nobody thought of his name until after this whole thing.
So I brought it up.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, you mentioned that part of it, the head coach waiting. That happened with Avery Johnson here.
Yeah.
Avery Johnson, and they made the finals. They should have won the finals that year.
But and they had, I mean, Big Don, he missed a lot of games. He would just miss a lot of games. Avery's coaching tonight.
Yeah. And so Avery, I remember there was a commentary during the playoffs on the run to the finals where they said Dirk had walked up to Avery during the practice and said, oh, old baseline Johnson, because Avery's game was the baseline jump shot, and that Avery had told them, I laughed at it, but like, we got to start setting some boundaries here of like, yeah, I was your teammate once and I've been kind of the assistant, but like, I am head coach here. And so we got to have a little bit of that respect factor there. And so, I mean, that dynamic can't exist. Number two, and these are questions that still exist for Brian Schottenheimer as the new play caller for the Cowboys. Which version of Schottenheimer's offense are we getting? So under Schottenheimer, the Jets ran the ball at one of the highest rates in the league from 06 to 2011. When he went to the Rams, they were pretty balanced. In Seattle, Shoddy pushed really hard for more freedom for Russell Wilson. And the Seahawks, they slowly started to shift from a run-first, ball-control offense to being one of the more aggressive, deep-passing teams in the NFL. So the question is that evolution? Is that coaching to your personnel? Or is the offense one that doesn't really have a defined direction to it? I don't think that... I think what it is it's generally coaching to trends and your personnel rather than
and that's his
else.
Philosophy, too. He's like... I need to fit it around the talent versus...
It should be every coach's philosophy.
We talked with him about Steve Spurrier a little bit, and I covered Steve in D.C. of, it's going to have to fit his... Not a well. You have to fit in the fun and gun. It's going to be the fun and gun.
Right.
You know, is Mike D'Antoni going to run a slow it down offense, or is he going to... What was the name of his?
7 seconds or less.
7 seconds or less.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something where when Dan Quinn got here...
Was McCarthy ever going to come here and go, this shouldn't be West Coast?
No. And I think that was part of the issue. When Dan Quinn got here...
He did initially.
We raved about how Dan Quinn changed things up and said, I can use that guy, though. I'll figure out a way. I don't know. He's too good not to.
Yeah.
And that's the third question. It's kind of branch off
if
of
Bill
that.
If Bill Belichick was coaching here, T.J. Watt would be a Dallas Cowboy. Period.
Yeah,
we probably. Got into this whole, well, I can't get him because he's a 4-3. I can't get him because he's a 3-4. For years, that's been an NFL and football philosophy. Belichick has always been, and that's why he's given credit for being a genius of, oh, you're doing this in a different way. He's like, give me all the damn good football players, please, and I'll figure it out.
Yeah, and that's the branch off the third part of this, which is kind of building on that, is that are we getting a scheme with Schottenheimer, or are we getting a coach? Like, is he a coach or is he a scheme? Because Rod Marinelli, for instance, who beloved around here, great guy, friend of the morning show, Rod Marinelli had a scheme that he believed in. That was his scheme, and you needed to fit to it. When you, especially in today's NFL, where so much of it is changing and they're throwing different looks at you and the schemes are changing so rapidly overnight, it's really hard to be married to just one scheme. But you also don't want somebody to be wishy-washy. You do want somebody to have an overall philosophy that they believe in. And Shoddy's talked about cut splits and motion and different things that he likes doing. But I think the biggest thing when you've got a coach in today's NFL, the number one question I think you have to ask about them in terms of if they're going to be a schematic advantage is, do you have the humility to challenge your own core beliefs on scheme in the name of a player that is talented? And just say, it doesn't fit. It is square peg, round hole, whatever else. But I need to make that work because he's too good not to make it work. So I need to change, not him. And so I think those are three of the bigger things that you've got to look at with Schottenheimer. And we'll have those answers pretty quickly once the season begins.
B-Lo.
B-Belt.
Every day at this time, 8:40. You love the Cowboys. You love football. Our insider is going to give it to you on the official home of America's team and the new home of Worst Take. Your nominees and the biggest loser for who gave the worst sports take of the week, the New York Knicks. Rory McIlroy, Deion Sanders, all in the running. Give us your nominees and the loser at 877-881-1053. Worst Take is next.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
George Pickens changing his number. Micah Parsons with an update on mandatories and a testy Stephen Jones. All of these things happening yesterday at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Us, unlike other stations, have someone attending those practices. That is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, here on Sean and RJ.
Yeah, it was an interesting day out there at the Ford Center. We've been doing all these practices outside, which has been the reason why it's been funny to see Tommy Yarrow showing up in his like dress clothes, which he had ditched last week. He heard us talking about him. He was like, I feel like I need to uphold a standard. So he showed back up in his Sunday best yesterday. He wanted y'all to know that he was dressed nice yesterday again. He did leave the sport coat behind. He wasn't a monster. But it was an interesting day out there at practice because early on, you knew we were going to be moving inside. It was really windy and they were just like, we're not going to be able to do our team period stuff out here. It's just too volatile. So as we were walking inside, though, we were getting walked upstairs, and as we're walking upstairs, we kind of stop and we look back and we're like, where's everybody else from the beat? And you look back and they're starting to gather around because in walks one Stephen Jones. And the big news, obviously, that everybody keeps wondering about at OTAs and everything else is, where's Micah Parsons? How involved is Micah Parsons going to be? So naturally, you would expect, if you're Stephen Jones, all right, I'm going to stop and ask or answer some questions. And I'm probably going to get asked about Micah Parsons quite a bit. And I'll be prepared with all my stock answers for it. And right out of the gate, he was not having a lot of happiness with Micah Parsons' questions.
Where you guys are with Micah in that situation?
No different than anything else. I'll let you know when it happens.
Has there been any more conversation?
I'll let you know when it happens.
Disappointed at all that he's not here?
No. I mean, that's part of the business. I mean, all teams go through it. And that's part of the business.
Do you expect him to be here next week?
You'd have to ask Micah.
He's been able to manage.
If we're going to talk about Micah, I'm headed in here. Y'all done? Yeah. Seriously, I don't need to talk about Micah. I said all I'm going to say about it. Are we clear? Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Which now the question is, all right, who's he frustrated with there? Is he frustrated with, guys, you know what I'm going to say? I'm stopping and I'll give you some answers on some other stuff, but like we're wasting my time now. Is he frustrated with that?
That's not what I just said.
Or is he frustrated with the Micah situation a little bit? And the answer is probably a little bit of both. But I mean, there's got to be the expectation that you're going to get asked about Micah. You're the front office. You're the one who's negotiating this. This would be the top line item for you.
You're the ones who drag everything out. Okay. So you should be used to it. Used to it after Dak, used to it after Lamb. You got a Zach Martin holdout. Now, if Steven early on said, guys, this is my only response, I'm not going to answer any more afterwards, and they kept going, then I can see Steven getting more perturbed. All right? So until he says that and draws the line of this is where it ends, they're going to keep asking, and they should keep asking. He's going to get the highest non-quarterback contract in the National Football League, and he is not here for the brand new head coach and the brand new defensive coordinator. So I do wonder who he is more perturbed at.
He's frustrated with dad. He's frustrated with his dad. If he thinks, unless he thinks alongside.
Well, I thought Steven was the money guy.
Yeah, but Jerry's the 11th hour wildcatter out there or whatever the hell it is.
Well, he said go and ask Micah. The media actually asked Shoddy. Brian Schottenheimer, mandatory mini camp next week. Now, Parsons was in the building yesterday. I think that's important. He was there, just not out on the field with the rest of the guys. Shoddy, what about Micah mandatory?
I would assume. Mike and I talked a couple of days ago. Again, he's doing a little bit of traveling. But again, everything that he and I have talked about, I expect that he will be here. And like I said, I say it each and every week. Mike and I have had great communication, everything I've asked him to do and vice versa. He's followed through on, so I would expect to see him.
Micah tweeted 10 hours ago, I will be there. I haven't missed a minicamp in 4 years. Even though the contract is not done, I have a teammate. I have teammates and a playbook. I'm preparing as if I will be on the field for the first week of camp, but it's in the owner's hands. RJ Choppy, I'm ready to win a Super Bowl.
Yep. Hell, we'll see him in Oxnard. Maybe not on the field at the time, but he'll be, you know, maybe at the, I don't even know if he stayed at the Residence Inn. He may be somewhere else. Maybe at a hotel in Beverly Hills, just hanging out. And this is his right to do that. This is what the norm is around the league. From Hendrickson to TJ Watt, I mean, to anybody who doesn't have a contract or doesn't have a contract that lasts beyond like this year, this is the playbook.
You know, with Lamb and Dak, we always try to guess, is it the guarantee? Is it the APY? We haven't really done that lately with the Micah deal. What do you think the specific holdup is? Do you think it's the APY? Do you think it's the guarantee? Do you think it's the length?
You know, it honestly feels like, because I think for everybody involved, they've all felt like, they've all said it publicly. Steven said it publicly. Like, I think we all believe this is something we can get our hands around. Like, I think everybody knows generally where all this is going to go. So to me, it gives off the feeling of
Micah's side is asking for something a little bit more.
No, almost just stubbornness of like, let's get a discount somewhere. Like let's find somewhere. Although, I mean, you don't even know because they haven't really actively met with Micah's agent. Like, they haven't really entered into a bunch of deep negotiations with him or talked to him a lot. I would bet they've talked more in the last month with Micah's agent about George Pickens' contract situation than Micah's. Where it's just when the trade went down, they were trying to establish, all right, what are we looking for? What are we looking at here? And with Micah, I think they're just happy to kind of let that sit right now.
Well, I heard Broadus address this yesterday on G-Bag. Is Broadus listening right now, or is he just texting you?
He texted me like an hour ago. He might be listening. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, Broadus was saying he doesn't think that agents are calling the Cowboys back. If you're David Mulligetta, why would you call back? As Broadus was saying, they're going to say, all right, 37, 37 and a half. They're going to lowball you. And the pressure's on the Cowboys to have Micah on the field by week one. That's why an agent, in my opinion, would not feel the need to call back. He's just going to skip OTAs. He's going to skip minicamp. We'll sit out training camp if we have to. You have to have him on the field for your brand new head coach, D coordinator and scheme, so you eventually have to pay what we want. And that is eventually what is going to happen unless Micah tells David Mulligetta, hey, let's cut a break somewhere. Yeah. So it sounded funny at first when Broadus is like, I don't think that the agents are calling the Cowboys back, because why waste time with low balls?
But I mean, you've
or
also,
discounts.
You've also got a situation where, like, you just read the tweet. Micah says he's going to be there next week, so even that leverage play that he has, he's not skipping it. He's not missing it.
Well, he can be there, but not participate.
Which they don't necessarily need him to. But, like, him being there at minicamp right now would be more about just getting up to speed on probably a lot of classroom stuff and different things like that. The camp thing is the threat that he put there. I'm preparing like I'll be there the first week of camp. but it's in the owner's hand. Like I mean, that's the thing that they're going to use as their leverage is training camp. That's something that has been the breaking point for the Cowboys a lot of times.
It's also far more meaningful. Nobody cares about minicamp. This is OTAs and minicamp are a waste of time to keep players from having idle hands for too long in an offseason.
I completely disagree. OTAs and minicamp is exactly why we've talked about in recent years when guys miss those stretches and they're rookies that they come in here and they're way behind everybody else.
I mean, we had 100 years of football without OTAs. They got along fine. This is a Parcells invention to keep players busy, to avoid players having an offseason where they got in trouble because they had a lot of time on their hands. That's what this is.
What do you mean, like, we had 100 years of football without OTAs? Like during the Super Bowl era, like, teams have always worked out in the spring and the summer.
Working out, having the OTAs is something that's happened in, like, the last, like, 30 years.
It's a name for it, but it's the same schedule they've run.
It's always been about avoiding.
What do you think about the classroom / schematic work?
Like, some of that's important, yeah. It's important, but, like, a lot of these guys are in, these systems are so homogenized now. Like, it's just, they've been playing in very similar systems. It's not rocket science.
But when Irvin talks about yesterday that they're literally pulling up every receiver and making them draw up the entire play, and the playbook is as deep and as dense as it is, like, shouldn't there be guys there?
The quarterback, the wide receivers being part of this, you know, like, a lot of this other stuff. I remember Terrence Newman said, it's not rocket science. A new DC comes in the middle of the year or whatever, we'll be fine. It's an intelligence thing.
What else happened?
Let's take a look at what actually happened on the field and not just in the hallways with Stephen Jones. There were a couple guys missing from practice yesterday. CeeDee Lamb, Malik Hooker, Andrew Booth, who has been rotating. Andrew Booth actually got a shout out from Stephen Jones yesterday during his media availability, which was interesting. But CeeDee Lamb was present, was there in uniform, did not have his helmet on. Again, when we talk about being present and OTAs and different things like that, it was interesting to watch CD, who, even though he wasn't practicing, every time the first team offense would huddle, CD would step into the huddle, he would listen to the call, and then he would step back. Like, he wants to still hear the call being called in the huddle. He wants to see everybody get into position. I thought that was kind of interesting watching him do that. Malik Hooker had walked out of practice pretty quickly, left with a trainer. Todd Archer had said that was back spasms for him. And Andrew Booth, we just never saw while we were out there at practice. With Booth out, you had a lot of Israel Mukwamu and Kyer Elam rotating instead of the Booth Elam rotation, but still moving Deron Bland inside at nickel when they went into a three-corner look. But really, yesterday was about Joe Milton and George Pickens. Like, those were the big headline things out of this. So Joe Milton showed you the best and the worst of his game on Tuesday. He threw a couple of misses. I mean, it's really, when you watch him throw, it's like you almost hear the ball whistle in the air, and it's so clean. That's going to be one of your favorite things when we get out there at training camp, is just watching when he's, when it's all working right and he throws the football, it's really impressive.
Did you see this, Choppy?
I did not.
I'm showing it to you right now. Look at the athleticism. Look at the athleticism.
Every practice, he says he does a backflip. Every single one.
He did that at Tennessee. I mean, he would do a backflip with the ball in his hand and then just rocket the ball somewhere.
That's a big man.
Now, he did have a stare down at one point and completely missed Damone Clark in the middle of the field while trying to throw to Princeton Fant and threw a pick right into his chest. That wasn't good. Almost had another pick in 7-on-7. But we did get the George Pickens highlight play I wanted. We were not allowed to take photos or anything else during the team period, but I did have an artist recreation of it. I think Aiden actually grabbed it and he was going to put it on the fan cam. But George Pickens, as you see on the fan cam, he was pinned to the sideline in the end zone, was falling out of bounds, made a ridiculous adjustment to reach out, high point the ball, all while managing to drag his toes in for a touchdown. That was impressive. See, I didn't think any chance he was going to get his feet down.
That number doesn't look to scale on his body.
It's pretty close.
Same guy who is drawing the Diddy photos in court, and that's a different number.
Yes, he's wearing 3 now. He had switched to 3, so Dante Fowler's taking over the 13 now, but 3's a better look for George Pickens. He also had, we got the deep ball to George Pickens during team period, and he had,
oh baby,
he had Kyer Elam beat, and I was like, oh, all right, here we go. This is the big highlight play. We're all kind of rising up in our seats, watching it, getting ready. Little bit of air under it from Dak, and so that gave Kyer Elam just enough time to get his hand out, knock the ball away. But George Pickens was walking back. He was doing the just this close sign to Dak, like we're close. But Pickens was fun to watch yesterday. I think with CD out, they were wanting to get him a lot more involved.
Steven, with some early thoughts on GP.
Outstanding. I mean, he's just been outstanding. It's great to see him his interactions with CD in the receiving room, and then also his interactions with Dak and the quarterbacks and, you know, in general. I think he's thrilled to be here, and we're thrilled to have him here.
So there it is, part one, Inside the Star, with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. More at 7:20 on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys, and of course, your flagship for Texas Rangers baseball as well. RJ has some travel and cell phone warnings for you as we get closer to the weekend, and the best play-by-play of the week comes from Chess. Wait till you hear this. Next on Sean and RJ, Hump Day Edition.
Hey.
Right here on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We are your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. Remember that when football season officially gets underway. We always consider it underway here on Sean and RJ with our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, who will be out at practice again today, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. We're also the Texas Rangers flagship station, so we have tickets to hook you up with coming up momentarily and every day the rest of the week. Ask Reddit at 7:40, Tony Casillas, to talk about Brian Schottenheimer at 8 o'clock as he participated and was invited to Cowboys Legends Day. But another legend, Troy Aikman, is saying pump the brakes just a little bit as NBC5 caught up with Aikman while promoting his beer. And here's what he had to say about all this Cowboy optimism.
You know, there were a lot of people just kind of scratching their head a little bit when he got named as the head coach because of his age and the fact that he hadn't had an opportunity yet. But, you know, now it's he's going to be judged by the same things that everyone else is, whether he can win games or not. And sounds like right now, of course, there's 32 teams right now in the league that are really optimistic and feeling good about what they did this offseason and how OTAs are going. And, you know, I always kind of laugh a little bit when I read the articles of what's happening this time of year and how positive everybody is. And the reality of it is that there's going to be a lot of teams that aren't very good. And who those teams are going to be, we'll find out. But I'm pulling for him and hoping that he does well.
And Aikman, he sounds pretty like he likes Schottenheimer. So he got to know Schottenheimer. He mentioned it. I've heard him mention it in a couple different places. He got to know Schottenheimer when he was the Seattle offensive coordinator because they were doing a lot of production meetings. He said the first time he ever interacted with him was years ago when he was on staff at San Diego, and they were starting to do some things that the Cowboys had previously done. So he just called Aikman for advice, like, hey, how did you guys do this and this? And so Aikman kind of, so he said, I like him a lot, but clearly Aikman's just like, I think Aikman is just not going to be as easily swayed by like that practice visit that, all the guys had the other day. That's not going to be something to him that's like,
yeah,
a lot of people feel happy right now. Let's see what happens when adversity hits.
I get it. I understand it. You know, pretty reasonable take, but I'm defensive now. I'm defensive. Anyone that comes at Brian Schottenheimer or this happy place that we're building, I'm going to attack. And what I'll say back to Troy Aikman and anyone worried about Troy Aikman's statements, Troy Aikman was a humongous Mike McCarthy fan. So I think if Troy had his druthers and choice, Mike McCarthy would still be here. If you listen to this show, I know you already know Bobby's opinion, but I share that opinion, not as strongly. Mike McCarthy needed to go. He was not the answer to win a championship. So Troy Aikman would have kept McCarthy here. He was wrong, is wrong. So that's my rebuttal.
Yeah, and I look, I think...
But he's right in terms of we have totally forgotten, flushed, and glossed over. I mean, I'll never forget leaving Hurtado Barbecue. The news broke. CA put me on the show, half buzzed. We're ready to burn the city down. This is one of the most surprising, ridiculous, laughable hires in the history of the National Football League in the moment and leading up. We can't forget that. We got to hold ourselves accountable. If this ends up working, right now, we're just so in love with the microphone and all the little things we're hearing behind the scenes. At least I am.
Yeah, look, I mean, I had, I went and clipped something the other day. I had gotten killed when this news broke. And I was like, the more fans hear Schottenheimer, the more they're going to like him. It may change in September, but by the time the season rolls around, everybody's going to be pretty positive about him. And I had somebody tweet at me that day. They went, you're a puppet just like the rest of them. And then I went and I was curious. I was just like, 2 weeks ago, I was like, let me just look up that guy. I just want to click on his account.
So Jesus,
on
his account. Jesus first, right?
7 minutes before I'd clicked on his account, he had tweeted, Brian Schottenheimer might be him. And it was just loaded with the Schottenheimer. I was like, there you go. See, yeah. This is exactly what I'm saying. Everybody forgets. Right now, it feels good. There's literally nothing to feel tension about or anything else. So to be fair, yeah, it's either going to be neutral or positive. He can only go up from here. And so far, though, he's checked every box to go up.
A Cowboys practice preview for today from their website.
Yes, Tommy Yarish, Mr. Suit and Tie, who heard this and was not out there wearing his suit last week when I saw him.
See, I love being able to peer pressure somebody.
But he screwed up. No, he was happy about it. He's like, it was kind of freeing. We put it out there in the open a little bit. And now maybe I can just walk in and just be a little more comfortable. Problem is he went with the quarter zip. Long sleeves in burning sun, and he's like, outside. I am sweating to death now in this. So this wasn't a great choice. But Tommy Yarish with the ride-up.
What
if
he was like just on the edge of a promotion in Frisco, and they're like, you're not taking it as serious.
Yeah,
you know, your effort isn't there. Look, you're all of a sudden getting lazy with your attire, and we cost Tommy a promotion.
Yeah, fashion tips from me probably isn't going to help him in the building. But he has his five things that he's looking out for at today's OTA practice, the media portion available. Number one, can Miles Sanders make a push for running back one? So this is something we talked about last week, a little bit into this week. Miles Sanders looked as good as you can look in this sort of setting. He looked like, okay, he's moving well. You were a little concerned. He's 28 years old. Carolina didn't put him out there a whole lot. There's a concern a little bit about, okay, is he the same sort of guy? Does he have that same juice, that same burst? But he's looked really good at this point. He talked about, Tommy did, he said, being the elder statesman in the room gives Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders an advantage compared to some other running backs available, but they'll both still have a lot to prove before either can earn the running back one job. One aspect to keep an eye on is catching out of the backfield, which would be an edge to Javonte Williams at this point. Number two on his list, who emerges as the green dot linebacker on defense? So that's not totally clear or settled yet. Eric Kendricks obviously isn't here. DeMarvian Overshown has been injured. He's still rehabbing on his way back.
What's his timeline? Like, what's his expected date?
It's hard to say because it was a really devastating injury where I think a lot of people have said he might be out the whole year. And then Overshown's talking like in a way that says maybe I could be back in the middle of the year. And then I think
meet the schedule.
Yeah, I think the more optimistic timeline from people, while still being realistic, said December. Like maybe beginning of December is when you could get him.
Kendricks is still a free agent.
Yeah, it's not playing. He's been all over. He's become Instagram influencer guy. Like you watch him, he puts up all these different captions now and does like TikToks. But The name that maybe we should be watching out here for, talking to Tommy is Kenneth Murray from the Titans, the linebacker that they brought in. And Kenneth Murray's flashed out here at practice a couple different times, and he is...
This is a guy I want to hear more about.
When you talk about culture, this was the dude who, when he was coming out of Oklahoma, was like the culture player in that draft when he was coming out 3-4 years ago, whatever that was. But he's somebody who's flashed out there at practice, has leadership traits, is a higher IQ player. It's just been a matter of executing. He hasn't executed consistently, but he's somebody who I think we should probably keep our eyes a little closer on as we get closer to training camp. Can Brevin Spanford make a push for tight end too? Ooh, are things that bad? Is we get to number three and Tommy Arsh's five things he's looking out for OTAs. Is it that bad with Luke Schoonmaker? Tommy mentions here with Luke Schoonmaker having his fair share of struggles early in his career, and that also bled into last week's practice. He had a drop during team period. This is setting up to be a critical offseason for both Schoonmaker and Spanford for an important position in the offense. Brevin Spanford, I haven't noticed a ton out of practice, but it's somebody that they liked a lot last year. They gave him, I think, the highest bonus of any of the guys that they signed as undrafted free agents. He got some play later in the year, is a good blocker. There's a lot of things there that they like about Brevin Spanford. But, man, if you're already talking about...
I thought he was getting a lot of OTA love last week.
No, like, I mean, he was out there. He's catching passes and different things like that. But it's not like you're seeing it. You're
out of the point.
But you're... Okay, all right. We're talking about passes.
He's beating defenders everywhere. He's scoring touchdowns.
No. We're talking about Witten passes. We're talking about, all right, leak into the flat, and they're throwing the ball over there. Okay. And so it's like, all right, you catch and run, but how much are you catching and running in a non-contact practice? Number four, where does Wanye Thomas fit in the secondary? He says, with Donovan Wilson spending time with the rehab group, that's opened up opportunities for Wanye Thomas to take some reps with the first-team defense opposite Malik Hooker at safety. He's also, when they've been in base and they come out with three receivers, he's been the one taking the nickel a lot of times, like coming down and then taking the slot. But Wanye Thomas is a big culture guy. He's somebody who has contributed on special teams, a little bit on defense. He's got an incredible backstory. But Wanye Thomas is somebody who I still think there's a question of, does he have the skill set to consistently play at the NFL level?
Let me go back to a Schoon for a second. Which Wolverine gives you more of an NFL career in production between Mozzie and Schoon?
Mozzie. Probably.
Really? Dang.
Mozzie last already, year.
This is approaching bust territory.
Yeah, this is a massive swing and miss on my part, too, because I really liked Schoonmaker coming out. I thought Schoonmaker was going to play a much bigger role. He just has not done anything to click into where he was supposed to be.
And he was taken right after LaPorta, right?
LaPorta's taken in the first round, I think. And Schoonmaker was taken mid-second, something like that. But Schoonmaker was... They loved LaPorta when he was coming out. It's just Schoonmaker was the guy that they ended up taking after a couple others went. And then the last thing he's looking for here, and this is a name we have not talked about at all leading up to the season. What does Hunter Lipke's role look like? He says, the Swiss Army knife that is Hunter Lipke can serve in a lot of different roles for the Cowboys offense, and that's been on display early in OTAs and his overall time in Dallas. He's played running back, fullback, and tight end along with special teams. So which spot does he settle into best? Is it all of the above, or does Brian Schottenheimer find a permanent home and role for him in his offense? That's one of the things I will be interested to see, kind of the side periphery things, not the main topics of a starting position, but... what role does the fullback play in what Schottenheimer's trying to do versus what the role has played for Mike McCarthy over the years? Mike McCarthy's always been more of a fullback type of guy. Schottenheimer at various spots has used one really prominently, and then there have been other times mm-hmm. he hasn't used them much at all. So I think it just kind of matters on what his personnel is. But Lipke is somebody who was a favorite of Mike McCarthy and within the Schottenheimer offense, and it'll be interesting to see how exactly he transforms with Schottenheimer here.
He had some moments, and then he had some bad moments.
Lipke?
Yeah. At the goal line in Miami was a bad moment.
Yes.
Yep.
But at the time, I mean, he had other you know, big first downs that he converted.
I mean, he was not a fullback coming into the NFL. He was a running back. They've made him this. And so now he's kind of playing fullback, tight end. It's a little different.
What other type of audio gold are we going to get from the brand new head coach? Last week, Todd Archer asked him about RJ Choppy's biggest shoddy problem. Why the visor?
It actually is a little bit of a ode to Coach Spurrier. So for you guys that don't know, 96 national champs, Florida Gators. When I went down there, I transferred from the University of Kansas. And the reason I went to Florida was I wanted to kind of learn about offense. And at the time, he had just started the fun and gun. He'd come from Duke to Florida. And
So I wanted to get down there and kind of learn from him. He was great. He actually gave me the opportunity to wear a headset on game days. I had to sit out for a year with the old transfer rules. But he told me that if I went there, that he'd let me wear a headset and be involved and be the signal caller, which was great. What I didn't realize was that what that also entailed was anytime he threw his visor, which was probably 5 to 7 times a game, I was responsible for picking it up. And I can truly, this is a true story. So we're playing a game. I'm signaling the plays and something happens. He's mad. He's pissed off at Danny. Throws his visor. And for some reason, I was caught up in something. I didn't go pick it up. And he literally looks at me. He's like, oh. So I went and I picked it up. And he's like, so honestly, that's where I first noticed it. I think I look better in a visor than a hat. I mean, you know, I'm losing my hair a little bit, at least up front. But it does go back to Florida.
There it is, Choppy. There's your answer.
Man, it's just, because he's very, very likable. It's just a very disappointing.
If you're losing your hair, don't you want to wear the full cap?
Yeah, you would think so.
Visor is just leaving you more exposed.
I think the...
It would leave you more... Absolutely.
I think what he's thinking is if he's losing his hair, does he want the friction from the hat potentially like causing more hair loss? Whereas if he's got the visor, everything's just kind of kept intact.
Interesting.
Y'all should be wearing visors.
Nope, too late. It's already gone for me.
Yeah, we got to wear the... You wear the high ones, though. Doesn't even touch the hair. I just can't do it. I can't do the visor.
Yeah.
You know, and there's two different kinds of visors. You know, he wears the short face visor. That's the one. It's a little bit narrower on top. Then you get the ones that are like the big flat ones.
Yeah.
Like your Larry Mize.
Yeah. Like you're, you know, like handing out blackjack cards.
Yeah. That's a big one. And so that's the worst one. So the one that he's got at least is the more stylish.
Schottenheimer did tell us to be on the possible lookout for the backwards visor. So, RJ, I'd like you to power rank Dan Quinn backwards hat, front visor, backwards visor.
We're talking from a head coach?
Yes.
Or just in general on the street?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
So how do they differ?
Head coach, backwards hat, regular hat, that's the worst. That's the most offensive one.
Okay.
That's the most offensive because he's trying... Yeah, so Dan Quinn is the most offensive. The front visor, I think the front visor is second worst. I think the backwards visor upside down, especially upside down, little Malibu's Most Wanted looking, that's the best one. If you're going to rock a visor backwards.
That's the best?
Yeah, the best one is the backwards because now you're completely making a joke out of it. Now you're like, you're committing to the bit.
Okay.
That's the best one.
This all makes sense, though. It hadn't really clicked for me until hearing Shoddy say right there, 1996 national champions, and then thinking back to how his beloved Peyton Manning couldn't do anything against Florida. That's why you hate the visor. It's what you couldn't beat, and you hate it.
You know, I wasn't at UT in 96, so I don't care.
The visor beat the hell out of you the next few years, though.
Well, the next year. And then the following year, 98, we won. We did okay. I think I was 3-2 against Florida in my career.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, answering the questions that matter from the 972. Hey, when will Micah return? As we discussed in the show yesterday, hey, he said he'll be back for mandatory minicamp.
I'm not answering that question.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're done with that.
We're not supposed
to. They did that on purpose.
Oh.
They did it on purpose. Mm. Watch out if they email you, too. We did get a reply all email earlier. So.
Yeah, please don't do that. By the way, got another update for you before we get into Deron Bland. The favorites to get Kevin Durant. There's a new favorite on the list. Toronto Raptors now down to 4. The New York Knicks are tops on the list, followed by Houston and Minnesota to next get Kevin Durant. Now, good news for all of us Mavericks fans. The Mavericks are down at 20th.
Oh, really?
So
that's good.
We're not getting Kevin Durant. Don't worry.
All right. Yeah, because so you're saying Jason Kidd and Kevin Durant are going to be together in New York is what you're suggesting then?
Okay. You know what? I'm glad that you said that. There are also betting odds for who will be the next New York Knicks head coach. Johnny Bryant is the favorite, and 9 spots down the list, Jason Kidd is tied with Steve Nash. I don't know if that's because Luca was just on the Steve Nash podcast or whatever, but Johnny Bryant currently is 40 times more likely to be the next Knicks head coach than Jason Kidd.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, then we get to keep the guy that we got to hang out with the other day.
There you go.
I like him.
Now, why you shouldn't re-sign this player. Go ahead and give me cut number 8. This was an electrifying moment that I think all Cowboys fans will probably remember for a while.
Second and 10 at the Dallas 43. Howell's back, throws it.
Oh, look out.
Picked up! It's Bland! It's Bland! He's got one man to beat at the 20. He cuts left. He breaks the tackle at the 10. He did it again!
God, I love that moment.
Why?
Because you broke the pick 6 record.
That is pretty cool.
You don't sound very impressed by this.
Sounds bland.
At all.
Was that the last one?
I thought he had another interception that just wasn't a pick 6.
No, that's
maybe.
What I mean, though. Was it the last pick 6 of the bunch?
Maybe.
If he had that many, how could he get more, you know?
Hold on. So if he had the most in NFL history in a season.
Seems like he was on a roll and then all of a sudden something stopped.
Why couldn't he have gotten
maybe
more?
They just stopped throwing his direction. They were like, it's useless. Mean, why would we even do that anymore?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, especially if they can't stop the run. Yeah, I would absolutely run after.
Okay. All right. Good to.
But yes, listen, dude, Deron Bland had an exceptional season and was better than anybody expected him to be.
Yeah.
And then coming into the last year, we were like, oh man, we're pretty stacked at this position. We're feeling confident. And then it kind of fell apart whenever he had the foot injury to start the season and never was what we expected out of him. So, but this is a new year here. So hold on. You opened this segment and said why you shouldn't re-sign this player and then played a Deron Bland highlight.
I also mentioned why he could be a bright side for the Cowboys this year.
Mr. Brightside.
Yes, potentially. Now consider this. Besides, obviously, last season was problematic with the injuries like you just mentioned. Before that, in his two previous seasons, he had 14 interceptions.
Okay.
And returned 5 of those for touchdowns.
All right.
Though I get it, Corey. Why not more?
Yeah.
Fair. I can't
How
answer that.
How many games
that.
Did he play?
He played all of them.
And only 14 interceptions, huh?
Okay, that is... He's no Everson Walls. If that's what you're getting at, he's no early 80s Everson Walls, if that is what you're going for. But this feels like all of the trappings of a classic poor Cowboys decision.
Okay.
All right. And sorry, I know this is going to end up reflecting on Deron Bland. It's not necessarily meant for just Deron Bland, but Blogging the Boys has projected his stats for the upcoming season. 61 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 10 pass breakups, 4 interceptions, and 1 pick 6. All right? That would be a good season, for sure. That would be a really good season. My concern is what the Cowboys seem to do is they look at the absolute best thing that you've ever done, and even coming off of an injury, they decide that's the level that you're always going to be at, and they pay you accordingly. And I certainly understand why Deron Bland would want to be paid as a top 5 cornerback in the league. But the fact is, he's not a top 5 cornerback in the league right now based on last season because, unfortunately, he got hurt. I don't think anyone will go into this season saying he's top 5, but I can see why he would want top 5 money. This feels like a mistake if the Cowboys give him all of the money right now.
I will agree with you.
Oh.
This is tough because this is what the sport has kind of turned to. But really the only player that deserves to like be held on to, there are a couple that's offensive linemen and a generational quarterback. Other than that, you found one, keep drafting.
Yeah.
And that's like, I would probably continue to build a lot on that. But whenever you have a player that looks like it, that's when you got to learn what is the difference between a player that's a star on our team and a generational player? Because those guys deserve that money. Is Micah a generational player or a star on the Cowboys team?
See, right now, I think he's a star on the Cowboys team. And can I just point out, for everybody that wants to say he's a generational player, how many generation players do you get? Is TJ Watt a generational player? Is Miles Garrett? Like, he's behind those two right now, right?
Right. Aaron Donald, I think, was generational.
Agreed.
So that's where, like, Patrick Mahomes is generational. A franchise quarterback. You pay franchise quarterbacks too. They believe Dak is a franchise quarterback. But for the rest of the bunch. I say you keep drafting, especially when you have a position like that. That is, I think Sean said this the other day, and I couldn't agree more. It's becoming the closer of football, and that is 1 year's really good, and then what happened the next year? Like the closers, there aren't any Riveras out there anymore. It just doesn't seem to happen like that. And so with cornerbacks, it is that way. Now, I also don't know how Bland is in the locker room. Is he a leader in that locker room? Is he a guy that you're like, no, man, he's a pole tent, or a tent pole. That dude right there is one we rely on. Or did he make some flashy plays and you think that he can relive it again? The Cowboys, Kevin, when you say this is a classic thing of them, they are history. And this is the Bill Parcells, Tom Landry thing. You saw him do it once. I'm sure they can do it again. And if we just pay him, we'll keep him around and he'll do it plenty of times. But I do like the player. I like having that player on the team, and I don't think you don't either.
Absolutely. I do like the player. I guess, and this is probably not fair either, but you look over at Trayvon Diggs, and we'll probably talk about him a little bit later in the show today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I got some questions regarding the secondary and where they stand.
Yeah, and so I think that's where I fall, and I was like, man, you have been really, really good. But do we need a top five paid cornerback to go with, you know, top, what is it, three wide receiver, top one quarterback, soon to be top one defensive end? Like, probably not.
Right. But you got, I mean, you do have to make the decision on which guys you do keep and which guys you do pay.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, when you're not paying all of them top five money, that it helps. It's beneficial.
Yeah.
But his agent's going to take him out to the market, and his agent's going to say, look at these numbers, and other teams are going to be willing to spend it. The Cowboys have this opportunity in this window to say, do we buy it out and bid against ourselves before, or do we just say, you know what, we're going to let it play out, see if we get the benefit of it?
And this is where, if we come down to philosophical differences about the way I would run the organization, and I want to make this clear, I'm not saying there's any chance in hell that the Cowboys are going to do this, and they're probably two steps too far after paying Dak and after paying CeeDee Lamb. But to your point, he would be a wildly valuable asset that you can be like, all right, we're going to move on from him, and that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before this season, you're going to move on from him so you can get something for him. And that sucks because that's going to drop the quality of your team. But I also don't think the quality of this team can go anywhere as it's constructed right now. And you can pick up some more assets and not have to pay that money next year. Personally, that's what I would have been doing all along. But the Cowboys continue to say they're right by the rim, so there's no way
What teams do that? Trade away these guys that are assets. I'm trying to figure this out because
the Patriots would do that a lot.
But that's different.
Is it?
No. Yeah, that version of Belichick is not existent anymore. But like, I'm trying to figure out, because when you're discussing this, my first thought is, well, if you start doing that, then players are going to start holding out on you earlier. They're just going to be, they're going to say, you know what? You're going to trade us away for value, and before we get our chance, then we're going to hold out even earlier. But they're already holding out earlier.
Exactly.
Like, they're already like 2 years in advance of in the holdout process.
And that's why we're in a tough spot, because the Cowboys aren't good at negotiating contracts in terms of they almost always lose.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what is that model? Because the NBA did that for a while, or the NBA is in that world where we're going to sign you to the Supermax. And once the player has gotten their money, they're like, all right, now I want to be traded out of this crap team. And like, we saw that happen a lot. True. I don't know if it still is that way, but it did feel like for a long time, I got my Supermax contract, get rid of me, because y'all aren't good enough to have me around here.
I do think to a certain extent, San Francisco has done that with some of their players, although their situation is also confusing because they said, all right, but I'll also go ahead and pay the quarterback all of the money while they were trading off people, which is a weird strategy.
And I think the other thing too, Kevin, when it comes to the difficult position that you're in as the Cowboys, is your, not inability, but lack of desire to sign free agents.
Yeah.
You say the Niners, well, the Niners pick from everything.
Yep.
You know, they have three baskets: free agency, the draft, and signing their own. Like, those are the way, and trades also. You have those options. Well, the Cowboys are like, we might make a small trade here and there. And they did this year. This offseason, they did that.
They did. which they, I like. And, I like those
free
moves.
Agency. They go to the discount bin. That's what they all. That's what they do. And then they rely on trade or on the draft. But other teams are like, we have a hole. We have a Deron Bland situation. We can sign a cheaper cornerback that's still going to give us that level of play, and then we can move on from him.
And I just want to...
But I still like him a lot.
There's an accounting thing that the Cowboys continue to do that I just think is maddening.
Kick the can?
Yeah, well, kind of. But what they've started to do is like, okay, do you know when you get those... like, if you ever get those offers and they're like, hey, you could write a check to yourself for $10,000 from your credit card company and we'll charge you this little fee and then you won't get charged forever. The Cowboys continue to do that. And then they don't do anything with the money. So, like, for example, right now I think they have $32 million in cap space.
Well, you need 14.
No! No, you don't!
Damn.
No!
Pretty sure I was
told
that.
No, you don't! But also, yeah, well, guess what? Not every team in the NFL has $14 million in cap space available. How are they possibly going to survive? All right?
Did they win the Super Bowl?
One of them did. But if you have $32 million in cap space... Consider this. They dropped Dak Prescott's cap hit this year from $89 million to $50 million.
Okay.
So do you really have any cap space? Or is it that just you flipped a switch on Dak Prescott? Because guess what his cap hit is next year? $74 million.
Yeah.
And guess what his cap hit's the next year? 68. Next year, 78.
Do you think the Cowboys for a long time thought, if we do it that way, agents will never know what monies we don't... We can just be like, we don't have that money. Until we flip the switch, and then agents are going to never know. And now agents are starting to catch on. They're like, hey.
What a terrible way to do that. But yeah, so this is what agitates me, and I think you have to come up with more drastic solutions. Because the Cowboys' solution is, and I guarantee you, you will hear this early in the season, when you ask about the salary cap, when we ask about the salary cap with Stephen Jones, well, you know, you can roll that money over next year. All right, well, guess what you're doing with that money? You're rolling over to next year. Paying off the excess part of Dak's contract. That's what you're doing.
Swaggy Booty said pie. By the way, Jordan Schultz is reporting Terry McLaurin has unexpectedly left voluntary workouts after initially attending, and it remains to be seen whether he'll report for mandatory minicamp. Evidently, he has made it clear to the team that he's frustrated by the lack of progress at a long-term deal. So, Kevin...
Especially when they're making a move for Debo.
So, if you move on from Bland, then you don't have to deal with Terry McLaurin. So, that's a good thing, you know?
Okay. Or, let's go ahead and trade him to Washington right now.
For Terry McLaurin?
Oh, man.
Dude, can you imagine him
picking? That would be neat. I will tell you this. That would eliminate any argument you could ever make about Dak doesn't have enough weapons. You're like, hey, I gave you CeeDee Lamb, Debo Samuel, and George Pickens.
No, Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin.
I'll take Debo too. I mean, that's fine. Yeah, he's a good running back.
I'm sorry. They're keeping Debo. Terry McLaurin and Pickens. Figure it out.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh.
I'm not anticipating that will happen.
Maybe he would finish first in MVP instead of second.
Yeah, well, then they would have a talking point till the end of time. Mm-hmm. Even if, I mean, they think they have a talking point till the end of time now,
the
even when they got eliminated.
Was well-deserved all along. Oh, if he won MVP, would you go, well, I mean.
No, I don't give a crap if he won two in a row. MVP. Hey, do you think, you know what? That's an interesting point because the Ravens are in the midst of redoing Lamar Jackson's contract right now or setting up an extension. That's great. And I get how you think he's earned it, but how many Ravens fans do you think are like, sweet.
That contract is keeping us from a Super Bowl.
Yeah, or like, can he win the Super Bowl? And he's on a totally different level than Dak Prescott is.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Time for Krusty's Corner. And what a time to be listening to Brian with the OTAs going on. It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that. What's it podcast? I'm supposed to be listening to your podcast. I've got it. What's it?
How about Wow? Love
How about
the Star?
Wow? Yeah. Because we got, we did Love of the Star today, but there's several like on this show if... you know, like I say, we do the Love of the Star, and then you've got your podcast as well.
Yeah, I put it up on Spotify. I'm just getting into the podcast.
That's a good way to, you know, it's a great platform. to be.
I thought so too. Yeah. I was surprised. I put four clips up in the YouTube things growing on How About Wow, but on the podcast thing, it's like donut. I'm like, do I have to do something?
He's going. No.
Am I not pushing a button?
No.
I mean, there's
it'll
a
come
lot
around
of,
though. Yeah. People find it and all that. That's what they do with these podcasts. They find them. You know.
Yeah.
Worth your time, people.
And I appreciate those that have already.
Yeah.
Man, we're having a good conversation.
I'm subscribed, man. I smashed the YouTube subscribe. How about wow?
How about wow?
Thank you.
All right. Okay. You know, it's driving me nuts not to be at these practices, right?
Of course.
Yeah, you're getting a little fidgety over there. A bit ornery. I'm fidgety. Concerned about how the next couple hours could go.
I'll go for you next week during the Ranger game, though, buddy. I got your back.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I really, really do.
I'll send you my notes.
You send me my notes?
Yeah.
It what bothers me is, but I've got some really good notes. I'll tell you a good follow on this, by the way, for clips and stuff, is Nick Harris.
He's doing
a really nice job of kind of getting in there and giving you not only pictures, but observations and stuff. But I want to give some credit to Bobby Belt, because Bobby shared his notes from today. And then I kind of followed up with some people on the notes that he sent me. Bobby's first note to me today was that Lamb was at practice, but helmet off and not participating. So are we already into the veteran days here with the practices?
Maybe something's nagging. You know?
I didn't get the vibe that was the case. So, because I asked about Malik Hooker, who left practice, and I got the report that there was nothing wrong with him, serious. And Bobby said he didn't see him when they moved inside. So didn't get a really, the people I was asking was, there was something wrong with him kind of thing. But Malik Hooker did leave practice with Jim Maurer today. And then Mike Smith and Elijah Clark rotated at safety with Wanye Thomas. So with Hooker being out, Mike Smith, Elijah Clark, we talked about this morning on Love of the Star. Give it a listen after our show today, if you would, please. That Elijah, I asked somebody in the organization, I said, hey, fair to say that Elijah Clark from Syracuse, fifth, sixth round grade on your board? This guy said, absolutely. So that was one of the guys, the first guys that they went after.
So we got a UDFA safety candidate?
We do.
They
paid a lot of money with the signing bonus. So my assumption was this is probably a fifth or sixth round type of player on their board. So you look at what you're drafting, and then now you go out and you spend money on players that you don't get to draft, but here they made fifth round grade on their board. It's like they get an extra fifth round pick. We'll see if this guy works out. They have a pretty good history of these undrafted free agent guys making teams and stuff.
Did you guys look at him?
I did.
Oh, post. Yeah, after they went and signed him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had not.
Did you have some thoughts about him as a player?
I mean, I thought he could have ended up being like a fifth round dude, personally. Like, he was better than some of the other safeties that I looked at.
What's his strengths?
I mean, I think he's got a good blend of coverage, but I think he's a good tackler. Yeah. I liked his tackling ability. He's a sure tackler.
Yeah, the thing that I liked, he's not the biggest. He's not like 195 or 200-pound guy. He's more like a 186, 187. Mm. I felt like, though, that he covered pretty well when he was playing.
I thought he was a really good – I mean, you have these – like Malik Hooker's a good cover guy, and he can be solid as a run-supporting safety.
Yeah.
But they got a lot of guys that I don't think are good in coverage necessarily. Like Donovan Wilson, that's not his strength. Ball goes over his head, you're holding your breath.
Right.
Elijah Clark might be, other than Malik Hooker, their best cover safety.
Yeah, I kind of felt like with Elijah that his ability to turn and to run was really good.
The way he flips his hips, it's pretty smooth.
Very, very, very smooth with the way that he plays. I was super, super impressed by his ability. Like I said, I felt like that the tackling, the coming up and playing down in the box, and then also, though, his ability to turn and run, I thought was really, really
good. That's why I was stunned listening yesterday when you got pushed back on the Donovan Wilson conversation. And I get Donovan Wilson's hurt, but when you can save $7 million, and it's nothing against Donovan Wilson, but you've got other safeties on your team that can provide essentially what Donovan Wilson's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And big picture, when you're looking at a team that's always pressed and talking about the salary cap, you've got to save money where you can.
Yeah.
And that might be one that just says is a blinking light, in my opinion.
I don't think he's a great fit for Eberflus's system, but something Matt wants so much is the takeaways. And I just
think he does do that sometimes.
Donovan's going to give you those.
Yeah.
It's too much to pay for just that with bad coverage and questionable, you know, discipline and all that. But
here's something that's been interesting that Bobby pointed out. He goes, Miles Sanders just moves so much better than Williams. Way more juice. A lot of bounce in his legs is what he's saying with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that doesn't surprise me considering Javonte Williams couldn't bounce back from that injury. But there are some highlight runs with Javonte that looks good from just last year with Denver, right? So I don't want to rule anybody out, but I'm not surprised that Miles Sanders looks better. Even when Javonte had that big year, like the yards over expectation weren't there. He was still just average in that big rookie year, but he was getting the ball a lot.
Yep. I'm dead, you know what, wrong about Miles Sanders. I hope I am. I hope I'm wrong about all these backs. I saw this as being a question. Mm-hmm. You know, coming, maybe Miles Sanders could actually give you something, you know, out of this.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to wait long for Blue.
Yeah. No,
Blue's going to be in the mix 100%.
Blue, yeah. But Blue and Sanders, if that thing works out, I mean, good for him.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Moffa, I'm trying to, I didn't, you know,
maybe some Williams on third and long, third and eight.
Catch the ball,
get the pass pro guy
exactly,
in there.
Exactly. All right, no Andrew Booth today. Mukwamu and Elam rotating in the base with Bland is what we saw today with Bobby. Said Joe Milton had some great throws, but stared down a receiver and team and got picked off by Damone Clark.
Damone Clark.
How about Damone Clark showing up today?
Yeah, I think we got the full Joe Milton experience today because I saw back-to-back tweets. It was Clarence Hill saying Damone Clark pick 6 off Milton. And then 2 minutes later, the next tweet, Milton also threw a bomb to Jalen Brooks.
Okay.
Everybody loves Damone Clark, well, but I think he's going to need it to stay on this team.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of instinct. That's a problem. And hey, good he got an interception. You know, I mean, we've seen a couple of these linebackers, you know, step up. Buddy Johnson last week, interception, or a couple weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But maybe some of these linebackers, we mentioned our kid from James from Florida.
Yep.
Maybe not a lot of instincts. Had an interception. So maybe some guys are kind of coming around on that. He also said this play of the day was a ridiculous Pickens catch in 7-on-7, twisting and falling out of the end zone. He high-pointed the ball and then managed to drag his toes. That's what you're going to get.
That's exciting.
That's what you expect.
Woo, let's go.
That's hot.
And then he said Pickens beat Elam in a deep team period, but Dak's throw was a little short. Elam managed to get a hand on it.
Elam, every OTA that the people have been out there for, he's getting PBUs. He just stack up good days, man.
He is getting a lot of those PBUs. And I kind of feel like you always say this, if they had to play the game tomorrow, but do you think he's kind of your opening day starter right now?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I think he will be the opening day starter on the outside.
Yeah.
Him and Ravel with Bland in the inside.
If Ravel's good to go. Yeah, I don't know if Ravel's playing week one.
Yeah. The thing was, I've heard things with Ravel, like more than willing. He's done everything they've asked him to do. You might see this guy in training camp. It's kind of
that'd be exciting. Kind of I'd love it, man. If he can start the season right away, that'd be awesome.
Okay. Here's a couple more. This is coming. I'm swinging on the Nick Harris. Nick sent me his notes from this
4 p.m. Nick Harris is going to join us tomorrow, by the way.
Okay. He said, we talked about CeeDee Lamb. We talked about Pickens. Jalen Tolbert had an impressive TD grab in the red zone work. He said Prescott fired one to the back of the end zone that Tolbert went over the top of the defender to haul in. Up and down day for Prescott. He was 8-for-14. He's tracking these things now. Had his best efficiency work in the red zone. So
we'll take it.
8-for-14 there. We talked about the Joe Milton experience. 44-yard bomb to Jalen Brooks down the right sidelines on the free play, beautifully placed ball. He did also a pick 6. We mentioned that. He was 7-for-9. Will Greer, 2-for-2 in the opportunities he got. Jalen Blue got a good amount of burn with the second team today. So it must have been that Williams and Sanders were your primary running backs today with the first team.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm willing to be patient with Blue, and I think it's important to make him earn it and focus. Like the turnover aspect of the game is, you know, partial your physical skills, but also the focus on that. And I would want to keep that carrot out for him well into the regular season to make sure he's totally locked. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking this dude has to be our majority of the carries guy by the time we get to the end of the year.
Gotcha. Israel Mukwamu got some burn at the outside corner. He's been playing a lot of the slot, so they worked him on the outside today. Miles Sanders was another guy he was talking about. It says looks super fresh. Jamar James and Andrew Booth were with the rehab group today, so no James. Hope that's not something that it would, the rookie linebacker there.
Oh, yeah. Hope I'm excited to see what he can do next week in the full mini camp. Is that a better corner configuration with Izzy in the slot to you with Bland and maybe Revelle or Elam on the outside?
I kind of always want to play Bland on the inside myself.
I love him as a slot player. I think he's the best on the team. No, Bland.
Yeah,
that's, now the next up for me might be Izzy, but that's only just we haven't seen the other guys do it.
That's like in case break glass kind of a thing of an emergency.
Well,
thing.
I mean, he's done it for parts of two games, right? And it was pretty good. Is that what I saw?
That Tampa Bay playoff game. He was. I mean, Dan Quinn. They were out of options. They were losing people left and right. And next thing you know, here's Izzy McQuan at that size. The way he was able to move in short areas was crazy impressive.
Be the biggest nickel corner of all time, I would imagine, at 6'4".
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of leggy a little bit, though. That's always
super long.
Yeah, I worry about that a little bit. All right, and this, the final thought here, it was that you're looking for down-the-line wide receivers. How about our guy Holden from Oregon?
Oh, Trayshon Holden, yeah.
Yeah, and Luigi Villene. Is that what you say?
I don't know anything about Luigi.
We have a Luigi?
Yeah, he's a defensive end.
Really?
So he says two guys who look good with threes, wide receiver Holden, and then Luigi Villene. I'm probably saying that wrong.
V-I-L-A-I-N.
Villene?
I like villain. I like villain? Luigi Villene.
It might be, but those are two guys. Defensive end and then also Holden, who people are talking about. Remember him? He got signed from Oregon. His receivers coach, former receivers coach, is also his new receivers coach here with the Dallas Cowboys.
I've always been more of a Mario guy myself, Brian, but I got big hopes for Luigi as well.
Thank you very much, buddy.
There he goes. Brian brought us in Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Have you guys seen this? They call it the Italian brain rot trend
on the
videos with the kids.
I have not.
My kids are into it, and it's hilarious.
Are their brains rotting?
I like the Kool-Aid challenge where they just run through the fence.
The brain rot is basically like the generation that's just swiping, staring at their phone. So they give them like these Italian cartoons that are distorted in some way with some Italian guy with a great voice, like narrating it. And it's just, it's Italian gibberish, but it's amazingly entertaining.
That's what I'm seeing.
My 3.5-year-old's locked into it, and she's running around the house going, "It's me, Mario." She's got all these lines that they're using to remix all these shorts.
Yeah, it's saying, imagine a universe of AI-generated characters with vaguely Italian-sounding names and nearly unintelligible storylines. It's like Cocomelon for adults.
Yes.
That's the read. That's
so it's like the opposite of that song I played for you a couple of weeks ago in What You Drinking and What You Thinking, where that was an Italian dude like faking to say American words and making songs and blew up in Europe. Kudos. You never know what's going to go viral, right? Like, who had the idea to think, hey, let's make AI Italian things and the kids are going to love it.
These are dolphins swimming, but they're bananas, but they're dolphins.
And they're speaking Italian?
There's sharks that have sneakers on and they're walking on the boardwalk.
Enzo!
Yes.
This is hilarious.
I always want to go to Italy.
Alligator airplanes and stuff.
There's a character called Ballerina Cappuccina. Right?
Oh, gee,
I'm looking at her right now.
Okay, you're looking at Ballerina Cappuccina. She looks like Mrs. Met.
Oh.
Bowl of oatmeal.
Very busty.
With the thickness.
We got two down, two to go here in the G-Bag Nation. Rangers pregame coming up.
And Pixar girls be going crazy, don't they?
Hey, dude.
Who's drawing the Pixar girls? He needs to be stopped.
Mrs. Incredible.
He knows what he's doing.
Got too much on his mind.
We've gone viral once again, sir. Congratulations. Well, Chuck, where are we going?
We can do some around the bases. We got some trade deadline intel, and then I've got two very bold June 3rd NFL predictions. That's next.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.